it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Scores! The captain, Michael Pekka!
Hasek with a miraculous save!
You don't want to miss Throwback Thursday.
We were mandated by the league here in Goalie Week to show a snippet of the winningest goaltender in Sabres history. Ryan Miller inviting everyone and encouraging.
We saw
prompting.
Some Dominic Hasek too.
Yes.
A little Hasek
well,
with the
Throwback
blocker
Thursdays,
save.
Throwback Thursdays, learn all about it at Sabres.com. That's going to be part of... a huge part, really, of the Black and Red schedule this year. And again, all those games and their opponents and start times, it's all available at Sabres.com. And Ryan Miller, of course, went to the St. Louis Blues from Buffalo.
That's right. That's
And
that's
they are
a, that's
our team
connection.
Of the day. And I'm going to try not to get upset. But
I was at that game, Duffer.
Of course you
that
were.
That day that Millsy got traded.
Yeah, but you're no Ryan Vince, so.
No, but I was walking into the building, and there's the whole buzz or whatever. Like, you know, Miller got traded, and Enrot was going to start against the San Jose Sharks, which were a really good team with Joel
Sabre,
Thornton.
Sabres won.
The Sabres did win, but then Ryan Vince ended up having to back up, which was awesome. So you talk a Miller connection. I mentioned my very first preseason game in the camp of 1995 was at the Odd against the St. Louis Blues. I do have confirmation. Look, this is a hockey card, Duffer, that was from that game. And look at the sleeve, a blue and red and gold or yellow sleeve that is in the background. So that was... that game. That was taken then. That was my hockey card. That was a rookie card from Pinnacle.
In that Ryan Miller trade, the Blues also acquired an assistant coach. Steve Ott.
Steve Ott, not Ian Ott. Ian used to work for us. Same difference. Yeah.
Again, this is so off. I was just, you know, mentioning in the first half hour, like that 2010 yes. trip with Izzy, who was... five at the time. Well, fast forward to the night of the Miller trade. She's, I don't know, probably 13 or 14, I guess. The picture, she was at the game.
Oh.
The text read, "Your daughter is not happy."
Oh.
And this brought the picture of this look, which of course, upon self-reflection, looked an awful lot like how I would get.
Yes.
At times when I was an adult.
It was a snapshot into your own soul.
Oh,
right
my
there.
Goodness.
Obviously, anyway. Like that would have been you as a kid when, you know, somebody got traded that you liked on the Sabres and
Tom
Ryan
Barrasso
Miller.
Or Don Edwards.
Oh,
or,
yeah. Millsy was so loved, right, for so many years. And from the time he even was loved, like in the lockout year of 2004-05 when he played for Rochester, a lot of Buffalo fans fled to Rochester. Got to know him, 2005-06, great season, 2006-07, President's Trophy. There was, you know, the Olympics in 2010. There was so much to love about Millsy that it was a one of the biggest fan favorite in Saberhood. Like, it was, there's definitely some big-time players, right? The Gilbert and the Danny Gare and... you know, but Ryan Miller is up on that Mount Rushmore of fan favorites over the years.
Okay, St. Louis is the team of the day. I'll try to do this quick so it affords you more time to talk about what is ahead for St. Louis this year. But the Blues last year landed in Wild Card 2.
Yes.
After winning Game 82 against Utah 6-1. This incredibly was on the heels of a 3-game losing streak that was on the heels of a 12-game winning streak, which it made it look like they were going to be home and cool. And then they stubbed their toe 3 straight times with incredible drama working against them, including Connor Brown scoring for the Oilers in the final minute of regulation to rob them of a point. And then they would go on to lose in a shootout the next game, robbing them of another possible point. So it literally came down to their final game. And then wouldn't you know it, they're up against the best team in the league, Winnipeg, to start the playoffs. They go down 0-2, they go up in the series, and they are up in game 7, 3-1, with 2 minutes left in the game.
Unbelievable.
And they lost. And here we sit talking about the St. Louis Blues.
And they had a chance in overtime too. It's not just like they lost. Like they had their chance in overtime, and they could not get it done.
What a team. What a winning streak. What incredible play against the Jets, and only to have it in the most heartbreaking fashion, losing not only a 2-goal lead in the final 2 minutes, but the game tire with just a couple of seconds to go in regulation before falling in overtime. But maybe what we saw down the stretch and in that wild first round is what the Blues will be, a team that is better than what they looked like for much of the year, that gets a full season from Jim Montgomery as head coach, runs it back with, and oh, by the way, in that 12-game winning streak, Robert Thomas led the NHL for almost a month in scoring. He had 23 points in 12 games. Incredibly, though, and this maybe kind of snuck into the Blues there with that late 3-game losing streak, in game 11 of the 12-game winning streak, Dylan Holloway got hurt. His season
that was bad.
And his season came to an end. And he should be healthy to start the season, but boy, did they miss him. And every team had injuries, so that's not a reason.
But Winnipeg, the season that Holloway had, like after a summer of, man, the two offer sheets, right? The Broberg and Holloway offer sheet. He comes through with 26 goals and 63 points in the season, and he gets hurt and cannot play the rest of the year. So that was big. But they somehow got a college replacement in Jimmy Snuggerud, who was really good and now playing in his first full year, could be seeing himself top line with Robert Thomas because they were good together. So yeah, they lost Holloway, but Snuggerud got in and performed well. So now it gives the Blues even more ammunition. I think the Blues are 100-plus points this year. They went from 92, missed out on the playoffs, to 96, getting in on the last day, to now this year going to be over 100 points. Jim Montgomery is a great coach. Jim Montgomery was 35-18-7 this year with the Blues, right? Mm-hmm. But in the last 27 games, you mentioned the 3-game losing streak, he went 24-3. Mm-hmm. That is where he put his stamp on the team. After a little break for the Four Nations, he came back and really had that team dialed up for the stretch to make the playoffs. Jordan Binnington played better. I think there was a little bit of that stress about going to the Four Nations. Will I be the guy after the Four Nations? He was great. I think he'll be a lot better this year. So, yeah, I look at the Blues as being a team that is going to be over 100 points in the Western Conference this year.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's you still, I do clearly, have a hard time saying how impactful Broberg and Holloway were. Mm-hmm. Like their starts to their respective NHL careers over the 2 and 3 prior seasons were middling at best. Mm-hmm. And for them to have the courage to go and sign them. Now the trick is they got to sign the next deals for both of them. The good news for the Blues, like everyone else, is the cap's going up. So it shouldn't be a real problem. But I will say this. they do in many ways look quite different. They have a core of players for sure that feel like they've been there a long time and contractually are going to be there a while as well. But when Snuggerud comes in as a top line player, which he will, and when you get a second year of Holloway and a second year of Broberg and a first year of Pugh Suter and improved play, especially in that winning streak from Jake Neighbors, really good season from Jordan Kyrou, like there's a lot to like. But honestly, one big area the last couple of years that has been talked about, and when it wasn't going well, remember, the threat was from Armstrong, like they're going to get rid of every possible veteran contract that they could.
And that's why the rumors were rabid. Like it was Kyrou's going to get traded, and you know, you've got...
But in season, at the deadline,
Parayko, it was like everybody.
If they didn't get hot, as you said, coming out of Four Nations, they wouldn't have had the chance to have a 12-game winning streak.
No, yeah.
And so, anyway, I just want to stress here that one of still the quieter acquisitions is Cam Fowler. Mm-hmm. From the moment he became a St. Louis Blue, he was in the top 10 in defense scoring in the NHL. He had 10 points in the first six games of round one of the playoffs. He had a six-game point streak. He got blanked in game seven.
Yeah.
But you could look at this very long career of Cam Fowler and not need to convince yourself too much that this was the best season, NHL season, of Cam Fowler's career. And
remember
that,
like when you said, do I still see the black and red players and think of the old players? When I see Cam Fowler in the St. Louis Blues jersey, mm-hmm. it's almost like he's been there forever. Like, I don't think of Cam Fowler, the Anaheim Ducks. I think, Cam Fowler, you're a St. Louis Blues. Like, that, you fit that mold, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe it's because I always thought of Fowler, kind of a Petrangelo type of player, and then Petrangelo with St. Louis moved on to Vegas, whatnot. But what he did alongside Colton Parayko mm-hmm. was putting that top pair of defensemen together and allowed Broberg to really get themselves going. And I love Philip Broberg, even when he was with the Edmonton Oilers, despite the fact that, as you mentioned, their career was just middling, but I always thought there was something there. It really made the Blues a different team with Fowler. And really, we talked Jim Montgomery as a coach, but for the first few games of Montgomery as a head coach, it was just okay. And then it really took off after. And maybe that's Fowler influence mm-hmm. right there. I really feel there was a big influence. Now, moving to next year, they added, I feel, some really good pieces. Pugh Suter as a UFA, Nick Bjugstad as a UFA, and then they traded for Logan Mailloux of the Montreal Canadiens, a defenseman. And I think Mailloux is going to be a full-time NHL player this year. So not only did you just add two UFAs and a defenseman on a trade, but really all you lost was Nick Leddy to waivers, Ryan Suter is getting older, and Zach Bolduc that you traded to Montreal. Like, I don't think that they gave up a lot to add those three pieces to an already good team that was put together.
You're absolutely entitled to your own opinion, but I think Montrealers are going to say that they won the trade getting Bolduc.
Yes, and really, the way I look at it is, one for one, Bolduc for Mailloux, I think Montreal won. But Nick Leddy went on waivers, and Ryan Suter was older, and they just let him walk. So mm-hmm. really, all they gave up is Bolduc mm-hmm. and added Suter, Bjugstad, and Mailloux. That yeah. way, St. Louis won their offseason and saying, from what we lost and what we gained more.
Mm-hmm. Well, the one thing the Blues were not good at last year was the penalty kill. They were 27th. They were very similar to Buffalo in that they had a high shooting percentage. They finished 8th in the NHL.
Yeah.
In that regard, just a whisker behind Buffalo, who was tied for 5th.
Penalty kill got worse with Jim Montgomery.
Well, so this is the thing. Last line of penalty kill and everything else is goaltending. Binnington and Hofer, this is where it's interesting. Their 5-on-5 save percentage was in the top 10. their penalty kill was not good. And that's what kind of skewed some things and made it harder for them to make the playoffs perhaps than it should have.
The 6-on-5 wasn't good either when you look at the end of game 7 against the Winnipeg Jets. So yes,
my gosh. Yeah.
That's like a power play right there. But yeah,
but do you like the tandem and what are your expectations?
I like the tandem. I actually had Joel Ofer as a guy that if I was a team looking for a goaltender that maybe is ready to take a transition, like an Anthony Stolarz that the Leafs did with last year, it would have been Joel Ofer. But the St. Louis Blues did not want to move him. They re-signed him, everything. So, but Binnington was 29th in the league in goals save above expectation. Ofer was 45th. So the numbers are like, hey, you know what? If you're not top 20, are you that good of a goaltender? But 5-on-5, as you pointed out, they were great penalty kill. Maybe not so much on the goaltenders in the way that they played and were giving up a lot of grade A chances. But I do feel that 5-on-5, they gave up 12 less goals than expected. That's because goaltending was there. They were ninth in expected goals against, but they still performed much better. So they were one of the top 5 team in goals against 5-on-5 this year.
What was Marty's best from a long weekend? That's next on Sabres Live.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.